Gopi jana balabha giri vada dhadi Nabha giri vada dhadi Gopi jana balabha giri vada dhadi
More lights, more lights.
Giri vada dadi Yasoda nandana Braja jana ranjana Dana braja jana ran Yasoda nandana Braja jana ranjana Braja jana ranjana Jamuna Ravana Chadi Jamuna Ravana Chadi Ravana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihadi Radha Madhava Kunjabiha Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabiha Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabiha Gopi Jana Balabha Giribhara Dhadi Gopi jana balabha giri vada dhadi Gopi jana balabha giri vada dhadi Yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana Yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana Jamuna tira vana chadi Jamuna tira vana chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Madhava Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari
Did you turn the volume up? Did you turn the volume up? It's really too loud. Ooh. That's better. Yeah. I'll speak a little bit and you stand by the control and see if we get the right volume. Srila Prabhupada ki Gaur Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya I'm going to read text 14 and there's also text 13 that has a purport but hopefully this is text 14. Yes. prayatvatamba vihagamunayovanesmin. Krishnekshitam tad uditam kalavenu vitam. Aroya yedrama bhujan ruchira pravalan. Shrinvanti medita drisho vigatanyar vachaha. Prayo batamba vihagamunayovanesmin. Krishnekshitam tad uditam kala venugitam. Aroya yedrama bhujan ruchira pravalan. Shrinvanti milita drisho vigatanya vacha. Prayo batamba vihagamanayovanesmin. Krishnekshitam tad uditam kalavena gitam. Aroya yedrama bhujan ruchira pravalan. Shrinvanti milita drisho vigatanya vacha. Prayo batamba vigamunayovanesmin. Krishnekshitam tad uditam kalavenu gitam. Aroya yedrama bhujan ruchira pravalan. Shrinvanti milita drisho vigatanya vacha. Prayo batamba vihagamunayovanesmin. Krishne chitam tad uditam kalavenu gitam. Aroya yedrama bhujan ruchira pravalan. Shrinvanti milita drisho vigatanya vacha. Prayo batamba vihagamunayovanesmin. Krishnekshitam tad uditam kalavenu gitam. Aroya yedrama bhujan ruchira pravalan. Shrinvanti milita drisho vigatanya vacha. Prayah. Almost. Bata, certainly. Amba, oh mother. Vihaga, the birds. Munayaha, great sages. Vane, in the forest. Asmin, this. Krishna, ikshitam, in order to see Krishna. Tat, uditam, created by him. Kala venu gitam, sweet vibrations made by playing the flute. Aroya, rising, ye
who
druma bhujan to the branches of the trees ruchira pravalan having beautiful creepers and twigs shrinvanti they hear milita drishaha closing their eyes vigata anya vachaha stopping all other sounds. I'm going to go back to text 13 because there's no purport, so we chanted 14. Translation reads, using their upraised ears as vessels, the cows are drinking the nectar of the flute song flowing out of Krishna's mouth. The calves, their mouths full of milk from their mother's moist nipples, stand still as they take Govinda within themselves through their tear-filled eyes and embrace him within their hearts. So now I'm going to read the two commentaries that for some reason didn't make it in the BBT version. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, paraphrasing what the gopis are saying, quote, one cannot say that the bewilderment from the flute is generated only from conjugal desire of the female. See the examples of the cows and their calves. In fearing of spilling the nectar, the cows have raised their ears like cups to hear the flute. The cause of bewilderment is not just vatsalya bhava toward Krishna, for their calves also, without vatsalya bhava, were bewildered. The calves, who had just begun to drink their mother's milk on hearing the flute, perked up their ears to drink that sound also. Not able to drink the udder milk, the milk fell from their open mouths, and they stood as if stunned. The cows brought Govinda close with their glances, and through their eyes, they had him enter their hearts, touching him in their minds. Their minds placed him on their laps out of vatsalya bhava. They then became stunned. Out of bliss, tears fell from their eyes. In this way, all living entities had love for Krishna. They are all fortunate to meet Krishna, but we are unfortunate being separated from him. And Jiva Goswami writes, other gopis speak three verses. First, this verse. They describe the cows, which have material affection, which is contrary to their madhurya bhava, in order to hide their emotions as previously. However, the words are suitable since there is no contradiction with the general affection that mothers show. So this is another group of gopis speaking three verses, and they have madhurya bhava, which they're hiding. And so instead, they're with other gopis, but they're hiding that madhurya bhava, showing vatsalya bhava. Even the cows famous among the people for not being able to distinguish good from bad relish the sound of his flute, which comes from his moon-like mouth, endowed with more nectar than billions of moons, which also have nectar. Krishna is the intense embodiment of the highest bliss. Sma indicates astonishment. They simply stand stunned, overcome by sattvika bhava. Govinda indicates their master, Lord of the cows. They touch him with affection. Sridhar Swami accepts the version Snuta Stana Praya. The calves have mouthfuls of their mother's milk flowing from their mouths. Some of the calves' mouths, the milk from their mother flows, whereas other calves' mouths have grass in their mouths, which they have been chewing. Their eyes begin to flow with tears, which were previously filling their throats. They embrace in their minds, via their eyes, Govinda. They offer themselves to Govinda in their minds, since they cannot see him directly, since their eyes are raining with tears. Since their eyes are covered with tears, they see him in their minds. We are most unfortunate, since we cannot even see him. And then this text 14, translation. O mother, that's explained in the commentary, out of affection, the gopis will sometimes call one another mother. O mother, in this forest, all the birds have risen onto the beautiful branches of the trees to see Krishna. With closed eyes, they are simply listening in silence to the sweet vibration of his flute, and they are not attracted by any other sound. Surely these birds are on the same level as great sages. Purport. BBT purport. The birds resemble sages because they live in the forest, keep their eyes closed, observe silence, and remain motionless. Significantly, it is stated here that even great sages become maddened by the sound of Krishna's flute, which is a completely spiritual vibration. The word ruchira pravalan indicates that even the branches of the trees are transformed in ecstasy when struck by the vibration of Krishna's flute song. Indra, Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu, being primordial gods, travel throughout the universe and have extensive knowledge of the science of music, and yet even these great personalities have never heard of composed music like that which emanates from Krishna's flute. Indeed, the birds are so moved by the blissful sound that in their ecstasy they close their eyes and cling to the branches to avoid falling off the trees. And Prabhupada concludes, or devotees conclude, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the gopis would sometimes address each other as Amba, or mother. So here's the full, again, it's Vishwanath paraphrasing the words of the gopis as follows. Quote, but the calves are material, and they are tasting material pleasure. The Atma Rama Munis, fixed in knowledge, and renouncing all feelings cannot be disturbed by Krishna, unquote. This is not true. Krishna also attracts them with his sweetness. Oh, it is surprising, mother. All these birds must be munis. See how they sit in the forest with eyes closed in silence. Perched on the branches of the trees, they are listening to the flute. The branches hearing the flute's song, and by the touch of the muni's feet, begin to sprout new leaves. Ruchira Prabhalan, out of ecstasy. This song agitates the whole universe. It arises only from Krishna, not from Indra, Brahma, Shiva, or Vishnu, as it is unique, being very old, traveling all over without obstruction, continuing for a long time, and being fully conversant with musical theory, that's those four personalities. Is it possible anyone else can sing like this? No. This song arises from Krishna alone. Neither Brahma, Vishnu, nor Shiva can make this song. They cannot even understand the musical science created by Krishna. Thus the birds, or the munis with eyes closed, are absorbed in relishing this never before heard song. They have given up all other talk, even the talk of munis about Brahmananda, being absorbed in the bliss of Krishna. Jiva Goswami writes, what to speak of the good fortune of the cows protected by Krishna? How can we describe the fortune of the birds in the forest? The majority of the birds are like this. But some, like the peacocks, are equal to the greatest devotees with their dancing in prema, not just sitting in trees. Bhatta expresses astonishment. Oh, mother, it is the nature of those immersed in prema to make such statements. Since no mother is present, they address their friends in this manner. The birds climb on the branches of the trees in order that they can see Krishna, or that Krishna can see them. The branches have attractive buds, which create an obstacle to seeing him, and are the object of enjoyment. Seeing him, they listen to the song of his flute with half-closed eyes. No words except the words of the flute are sensed by their minds, ears, or voice. Thus they are fortunate. Final paragraph. An interpretation according to prema may also be given. The word ruchira also indicates that the buds have offered all activities to the Lord. The word praya indicates conjuncture, such as perhaps it is so. The word munayaha refers to atmaramas like the kumaras who have become birds in this forest in order to see Krishna. They hear the sound of the flute, which they imagine in many ways, since they have never experienced the sound before, whose qualities are continually increased by Krishna. This shows that the sound of the flute attracts them away from Brahma Samadhi. The song of the flute attracts the universe. These sages have surpassed the branches of the Vedas, filled with various subdivisions, they have given up the study of the Vedas. Their consciousness of their bodies has disappeared. They are silent on all topics except Krishna. What else can they deliberate on? Any questions? What to say? What great misfortune for souls that have forgotten Krishna. What great misfortune when arising out of frustration, impersonalism and voidism become the object. Never to taste, because in that mentality, never to taste, unable to access the happiness of spiritual activity, devotional service, and maturing through the process of devotional service to stages and stages and stages and ever-increasing stages of transcendental happiness. Most unfortunate. And the converse is most fortunate for those who have forgotten but have been given the opportunity to remember or reawaken that natural happiness, the natural consciousness of the soul. It requires association with persons who have that contact through bhakti yoga process, some bhakti, the simple desire to be in service to Krishna. There's this nice purport when Canto 6, Chapter 1, where Maharaj Prikshit, one of my favorite sections, Maharaj Prikshit is asking Shukadev Goswami, what can be done to help people not have to experience the hellish planets that you've just described? Because sin results in a reaction to sin, and that reaction to sin is punishment. And punishment can be very severe. So what can be done, O great sage? So after, in simple terms, expressing karma kanda and jnana kanda, then Shukadeva Goswami concludes that bhakti is the means. Because bhakti is the means whereby not only the reaction to sins can be counteracted, or one can, with knowledge, try to stay away from sinful activity, but still be potentially influenced because of long-standing tendency. Therefore, bhakti alone has the capacity to, from the very root of such tendency, take away such tendency. And such tendency for sin, in simple terms, is ignorance. That root of all ignorance is ignoring Krishna, and from that original ignorance comes all other ignorances. And so the solution to tendency to ignore Krishna is to return one's attention to Krishna. And so the bhakti process is there to restore that natural tendency and thereby diminish the other tendency and eventually uproot it. And in the commentary to that verse, Jiva Goswami explains that, keeping it simple, one of the beginning stages of bhakti is simply to have a desire to engage in service. Now, there are people that we come in contact with. They don't have much attraction for hearing, chanting, and so forth. They don't have attraction. I was having a discussion with somebody recently that they were expressing in an honest manner, I don't have such attraction. I understand it's important, and so I, you know, in a modest way, minimal way, engaged, but I don't have taste. I don't have attraction. And this individual, they really like service. According to Jiva Goswami, that's the beginning stage of Bhakti Abhas, and Bhakti Abhas has the power to remove even the tendency to be the material enjoyer or the enjoyer of the illusory energy. Now, the strength of that tendency to serve can get pushed around by adverse circumstances where service is blocked or obstructed or something. Some obstacle, and one may become discouraged or whatever, whatever. And that was the case with this individual. They were feeling discouraged. They weren't stopping their service, but they were feeling that feeling. And then an additional, I don't have much attraction for hearing and chanting. So staying fixed in simply, it's a faith, and it's a more than just like a cosmetic kind of faith. People that like service, they like service. I know one man somewhere. He doesn't really chant, and he doesn't really read Prabhupada's books. A corporate fellow, and when his favorite thing is he goes to the temple on Sunday and washes pots. That's his thing. He looks forward to it all week long. A corporate guy, you know, an up there corporate guy. That's a happiness for him. And it's not exactly karma yoga, because it's not just a happiness of detachment from fruitive activity, although some element of that is there. It's the enjoyment of the humble mood of being in service to the Vaishnavas and to Krishna. And that's been going on for quite some time. He's very steady at his Sunday pot washing service. And by that activity, the heart is becoming cleansed, and the tendency for being the enjoyer of the temporary is being diminished, slackened. And eventually, according to Jiva Goswami, sufficient to uproot altogether the tendency. Bhakti Abhas, then that's not the goal, Bhakti Abhas or Nam Abhas. And to whatever varying degrees, we all have some attraction for hearing, not just for service. And that attraction for hearing brings us, look at this, you know, the hearing from the gopis about their experience in Vrindavan. As, you know, the sequence, the flute and the plays and the animals and the birds, the cows, ears perked up like cups to capture the sound. Somehow cows have the ability to move their ears like this, like a radar, catch the sound, straining to hear, stunned, and the calves, stunned, different relationships, the parental relationship, parental mood. Sometimes the scripture describes the cows having parental affection, vatsalya bhav, towards Krishna. Sometimes it speaks of the cows as having a position of neutrality. More common is the cows having a relationship of parental affection. But whatever the case may be, you know, they're fixed in one thing, and they become stunned when they see Krishna and draw Krishna within their hearts by seeing. We find a similar description in when Krishna is entering Dwarka after returning from Hastinapur, and the ladies are up on the rooftops because they were not being directly in the public view, and their shyness, they're up on the rooftop seeing Krishna. But by seeing Krishna, the description is Krishna entered their eyes, Krishna entered their hearts. Within their hearts, they're embracing Krishna as much as with the satisfaction, same satisfaction as with their arms embracing Krishna. These are ladies who have that relationship, that affection for Krishna, acting appropriately, nonetheless having that affection. So whatever the relationship of the calves and the cows for Krishna, whatever that rasa might be, specifically it's said here that the cows have vatsalya bhav. But what about the calves? We don't know if they're male or female calves. So it's not dependent upon the relationship. It's stimulating their ecstasy so much so they can't drink milk and it's falling from their mouths. They're stunned and holding Krishna in their hearts just through the sound. So the sound of Krishna's flutes is very powerful. The eyes seeing Krishna, it's very powerful. Now, here it's saying that the gopis were feeling unfortunate because they can't see Krishna. But previously, as they can't go to be with Krishna or embrace Krishna, run to Krishna like the deer, male and female deer, are doing. And the birds, like sages, one place says they're like sages, another place says they are sages, who are doing sage things. They're motionless, they're silent, their eyes are half open, half closed, like a sage, like chapter 6, Bhagavad Gita, engaged in meditation. But their meditation is exclusively upon the sound of Krishna's flute, because it depends on the time of day, but birds like to sing, and they don't sing, they just listen. the sound of Krishna's flute. Completely absorbed in Krishna through the sound of Krishna's flute. And that sound, we hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, is in another category besides the Vedic explanation of music. Now, we don't know so much about the Vedic science of music, but there is one. And details and details and details, and some persons are knowledgeable in those details and details, yet Krishna's flute playing is at another category. They, Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu, they know that science, but they can't make that sound, even though they know the science, and they're also moved by hearing that sound. In fact, everything, moving, non-moving, is transformed by this sound. So, pretty mystical. And the gopis, not educated by Vedic standards, have full understanding, full realization of this uniqueness of Krishna's flute. Within the verse that we chanted, in that second line, there's Kala Venu Gitam. This section, at least to my understanding, is it's sometimes, maybe that is, even is what the Sanskrit is for the chapter, Venu Gita. Venu Gita. But in Kala, here the translation is the whole universe. Everything is moved. In the BBT version, Kala Venu Gitam, sweet vibrations made by playing the flute, but our acharyas also indicate this, the universe. What is it? What is not affected by the sound of Krishna's flute? Of course, we're not so affected. Lord Brahma, we know, he received his second Gayatri Mantra hearing the flute of Krishna. So the flute of Krishna can make different sounds than just musical sounding sounds. It's mantra. It's many things, so many things, so many things. Traditionally, we hear when Krishna returned back to Nandagram at the end of the day of herding the cows with the cowherd boys, he would go to the Kadamba Grove and climb up one of the Kadamba trees and play upon his flute. And when he was playing upon his flute, the sound was the names of the groups of cows, because there's so many cows, and grouped according to their color, and mridanga mukhi, some have heads that are shaped like a mridanga, and so forth. So the groups have names, and Krishna playing upon his flute would called the names of the groups, and their ears would, they're calling our group, and come running. And sometimes a cow would not be present, so Krishna would call the cow's name. He knew 900,000 cows by name, and by calling on his flute, he would call the name of the cow. Ooh, I'm coming. very, very magical. Dinabandhu describes that Krishna's flute can do almost anything. In fact, it's the nature of things of the spiritual realm that they can, that anything can supply almost anything. So one of the things that Krishna's flute can do, it can become a boat, and the cowherd boys can cross the Jamuna River in Krishna's flute. That's Dinabandhu description. So it's very, very mystical, just as Krishna is. He's Yogeshwara, the master of all mystic power. And with his flute, with his favorite accompaniment, the flute, he's enjoying. And as he's enjoying, the others are enjoying because their happiness is his happiness. And he stimulates their love for him. Not just because he's a good musician. Because the sound of the flute is as transcendental as he is. So he's reaching their hearts and their minds through their ears, through his sound of his flute. And according to the different positions, they are moved. Even the branches of the tree, here, he's purport, the branches of the trees are also in ecstasy, hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, and new buds form in ecstasy, just hearing the sound of Krishna's flute. And the whole chapter is different amazing things that happen. The rocks that are stationary start to move, and the river Jamuna that's flowing becomes stunned. And birds flying in the air, they fall to the ground, stunned, just at the sound of Krishna's flute. Vrindavan. Any discussion? Yes. Go ahead, speak. Go ahead. Yes, speak. You can speak without a microphone.
This is kind of a sneak preview of what's up ahead for us, I'm assuming. That's how we can see it, you know, this ecstasy of experiencing Krishna's flute. This is a little strange question, but I'll ask it anyway. Is there any examples of, like our previous acharyas, that describe their own personal experience of hearing the flute, Krishna's flute?
Their own experience hearing Krishna's flute, that's what you're asking?
Yeah.
Probably, but I don't know.
And I would.
It's often said, Jiva Goswami, his intimacy in the worship of Radha Damodar was such that when he was worshiping Radha Damodar, Radha Damodar was so happy, Damodar would dance. Dance. And then sometimes Damodar would play his flute and Jiva Goswami would dance. Now, it's not something written by Jiva Goswami that says those things that I'm aware of. It's just said about him, as far as I know. But, you know, read these purports and, you know, these great personalities, they're experiencing things that we can't even imagine. And it's not their imagination, they're experiencing Krishna directly. So it must be they hear. But how they convey what they have heard, I don't know. Okay, yes, behind you.
Guru Maharaj, you were speaking about the power of bhakti to destroy even the tendency to be a material enjoyer. And recently you've been giving classes on Gita values, where you've been showing this picture of an iceberg. So our values are the bottom part, and then behaviors is what you can see.
Yes.
And during this long anartha nivritti phase, we often have a tendency to act out of alignment with our values.
Yes.
Even though, you know, we have faith that bhakti has the tendency to destroy and go down to the root of that iceberg. What can be, you know, what can be done during this phase to be more in alignment?
Two things come to mind. One is practice. You know, you go to a chiropractor. Practice alignment. And that is to say, so the behaviors and values are resting upon something else. And so that something else is what's the essence of bhakti. And the essence of bhakti is the intent or intention to please Krishna. So what can we do to bring alignment stronger is to connect with our intention to please Krishna. That's the heart or the strength, the power of bhakti is that. So more connect with that to help enhance the alignment. Then our values are, and our behaviors are more in alignment with that intent to please Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. Oh, you have something.
Thank you for class, Maharaj. Just on her, Mataji's question, why is it that for some, it may be that Prabhupada's books and the process isn't enough to align oneself, and that they might have to use other methods, so-called material, but we can have a good intention in doing so. Why is it that there's... You understand, like if someone's hearing and chanting, but they're still not able to keep in alignment with the process, and they might need to use like a different method with the intention of getting aligned, which is bhakti, like you were saying, but why is it that they can't just hear and chant and do service? Does that make sense?
But let me say back what I think you're saying. There are devotees that don't have alignment, and there's 9 devotees that seem to have more alignment than some devotees. So why is that? Is that what you're asking? There's 9 devotees that have a value, and their behavior is consistent with their value. And there are devotees that have values, but they're not, their behavior isn't consistent with their values. Why is that? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, like there's devotees that are in alignment.
From the devotee what?
A devotee who isn't in alignment, but they're devoted to the process.
They're devoted to the process, but they're out of alignment.
Right, and you said that if the intention to...
Here's a visual that may help, because I'm not sure... I'm understanding your question. Iceberg example. There's a tip, there's what's below the surface of the water, and there's the very bottom. Okay? The tip is the behavior. Just below the surface of the water is values that drive behavior. And behavior can also influence our values. But the very bottom is the unchanging realities, non-circumstantial realities and truths of life. like, let's say, I'm a spirit soul, regardless of values, and keep going, as a spirit soul, I'm part and parcel of the Supreme Soul. No, I may not understand that, but that's a reality. And that spirit soul is an entity of service to the Supreme Soul. And keep, you know, there's a capacity within that soul to want to please Krishna. It's misdirected. Like this statement, Jitendra is going to appreciate this one. George Harrison's statement, everybody's Krishna's devotee. Some people recognize it, some people don't recognize it, but everyone's Krishna's devotee. Something like that. So that's a non-changing reality, a truth, whether it's someone's value or not. And then there's the behaviors that are... So my response to her question is, do you want to have more alignment? Work on the bottom of the iceberg part. Like, you know, who am I really? Because we have different conceptions of who we are and thus different values of and different behaviors. So theory, I am meant for Krishna's service is one thing, and then experiencing it and carrying that in a conscious way at the heart level all the time, that will help bring alignment of values and behaviors, connecting with, and if that's covered or forgotten or misplaced or whatever, then we're out of alignment. Even people that are pious, not just people here who are pious, in the heavenly realms or higher than the heavenly realms, without connecting with that essence, unchanging reality. Does that answer your question? Jitendra is looking pensive. You want to say something? I got a vibration over there. He wants to say something.
The path of perfection, page 55, I had it. This one paragraph by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and it's I had it memorized, but right now, you know, you just...
Paraphrase.
It's not that we're never disconnected from Krishna, but we're in a state where we think we're disconnected from Krishna. So it's on page 55. I really liked it, but I can't remember it right offhand.
Illusion covers reality. It doesn't change what reality is. That's the out of alignment is illusion covering reality. And a restoring alignment is reality becomes awakened, and thus illusion becomes diminished and higher consciousness prevails. Reality prevails. We can connect with that absolute reality within us, and then values and behaviors accordingly. Yeah.
Reality distinguished from illusion for the benefit of all.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.